It's a critical time for American efforts in Iraq. Troop drawdowns are underway as the military continues its plans to transition from a Defense Department to a State Department-run mission. All U.S. troops are slated to leave Iraq by December 31st of this year. Joining us live to talk about the process and how the military is working to achieve its goals and deadlines is Major General Jeffrey Buchanan, a spokesman for U.S. forces in Iraq, speaking to us from Iraq. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on your show today.
So how do things stand now? What's the timeline look like for you between now and December? Is all this doable safely to make that transition happen on time?
It is. You know, we've still got a lot to do. I would like to say that our three major tasks on the military side within DOD are to advise, train, assist, and equip the Iraqi security forces to conduct partnered counterterrorism operations and to support and protect the civilian workers that come mostly from the U.S. mission in Iraq, all from all different agencies, as they work to support Iraq's development of civil capacity throughout the country. So we've got a lot to do across all three of those mission sets. But things are on track, in fact, for us to meet our final commitments under a security agreement, which includes transition to a complete civilian authority by the end of the year.
So what functions are in the process then of being transferred or removed? And even after this is over with, what military presence is going to stay behind will remain there?
Well, let me just give you an idea of the scope of what we're talking about. Right now, we have slightly less than 50,000 troops in Iraq. It's between 46,000 and 48,000, depending on units coming and going. And we're responsible for 70 bases. That's down from a high of more than 500 in 2007. And we had more than 140 at the start of 2010. So we continue to transition those. And, of course, we have a bunch of equipment that we have to move out as well. But our two countries, Iraq and the U.S., signed a strategic framework agreement that aspires to an enduring partnership for a lengthy amount of time and sets the conditions for cooperation in a wide variety of areas. And those actually highlight the transitions you talked about, even for defense and security cooperation, which is one of the areas in addition to education, agriculture, science, and technology. The Department of State, through its Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement, is taking over responsibility for police professionalization. So those transitions are going on and will occur throughout the rest of the year. Answering the last part of your question, what sort of military presence are we going to have here, given the current situation and current agreement? Just like any other embassy in this part of the world, we will have a Office of Security Cooperation that really focuses on assistance with the fielding and training of equipment that Iraq has purchased under the Foreign Military Sales Program. And we're talking a very small organization under the ambassador's authority and operating under Chief of Mission Authority.
We're speaking with Major General Jeffrey Buchanan, Director of Strategic Efforts at the United States Forces Iraq. And I want to ask you about the equipment and so forth. Give us an example, or rather a description of the scope of equipment and how the condition of it is and how you're going to get that all back to the United States. Is any of it reusable once it gets back here?
Well, most of the stuff that we bring back is in fact reusable. Much of it has to be reconditioned, whether it's trucks like Humvees or MRAPs, certainly tanks, aircraft, these kinds of things. They'll usually undergo an extensive maintenance or refitting program once they come back to either all the way to the United States, or they might just get refitted and rebuilt in Kuwait, and then for use either in a storage site here or moved on to another theater like Afghanistan. So we're talking basically all of our military equipment except for a small amount that will stay here under as it gets transitioned or transferred to the Iraqi government, things that they have already bought, or the State Department to assist them with mobility as they face the future without military forces to move them from one place to the next.
What sort of flexibility do you have in your plans if things were to change in Iraq Do you have that option to change things up as needed? What sort of flexibility do you have?
Well, we do have quite a bit of flexibility, and this also speaks to why we are keeping the same level of troops here for as long as we possibly can. One of the ideas is to get as much work done as we can across all the mission sets, and the other is to preserve flexibility for the commander in case conditions should change. And we're needed, you know, they could change, the security conditions could change. We could find that one Iraqi unit needs a significant amount of help with respect to their training and preparation, or whatever the case may be. And so by keeping the troop levels here constant through the summer, we're going to have a fair amount of flexibility. Now, as we look into the future, beyond the time when U.S. forces are scheduled to depart, we in the military, if nothing else, we do a good job with contingency planning, and that's, we look at all possibilities of what the Iraqis may ask for help. They have not asked for any additional help yet, but if they come to us, what we have to do on the military side is provide good, sound advice back to our civilian leaders who will make decisions about any future troop presence or these kinds of things back in Washington, D.C. And then they make those decisions, of course, informed decisions based on what we see as the art of the possible. And so we look at those and we try to build as much flexibility into the options as well.
A few weeks ago, it looked like the kinetic activity was really on the upswing with some bombings and suicide affairs. How would you characterize things now, and do the troops there feel generally like they can carry this out safely in the next few weeks and months?
Well, first thing I would like to say is that Iraq continues to be a dangerous place. It is, compared to the days of 2005, 6, or 7, clearly the levels of violence are way down, and the level of security is up. And the Iraqi forces have done a credible job in the security realm. Of course, they have had the lead for all security, internal security throughout the country since last summer. The individual attack levels, the number of casualties are, if you look at the data in terms of trends, we have less daily attacks now and less casualties now than even in 2010. And it's gone down every year since 2007. So fairly significant drops throughout. But that doesn't stop an occasional terrorist from being successful, because once in a while they are. And in the end of March, for instance, we had a sophisticated al-Qaeda attack in Tikrit in Saladin province north of Baghdad, and they killed a significant number of provincial leaders and Iraqi security force members as they were holding a provincial council meeting. So occasionally attacks still occur. Overall, the levels of violence are down, but individually there are clearly attacks that do still happen.
Major General Jeffrey Buchanan is a spokesperson for U.S. forces in Iraq. He's coming to us live from Iraq. Thank you very much, sir, for your time this morning and for your insight. We do appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Amy. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all today.